This is the KPFA local station board meeting of December 17th, 2022. I'm calling the meeting to order and I will read the LSB agreements. Participation for purposes of sound quality and clear communication without interruptions. Participants are asked to mute themselves during KPFA LSB online meetings and the chair or host will recognize one person at a time to unmute and speak. Board members on the phone can mute and unmute themselves by pressing star six. The use of the Zoom chat option is reserved for LSB members only, so that board members are able to process board business without distraction. We look forward to hearing from members of the public during public comments time. Board members wishing to be called on during the meeting are asked to raise hand by clicking on the participant button at the bottom of the screen and then clicking on the raise hand button on the right or to press star nine on a phone. Board members will be called on by stack. LSB board members shall use chat to submit written motions to the LSB secretary. Board members online may vote by Zoom, raise hand, or by roll call, or by email with a code when needed. KPFA LSB and email agreements. Audio recording of the meeting is available at kpftx.org. No video recording is permitted at KPFA LSB meetings. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting or be removed from the meeting. And I will ask Carol now to take roll call, please.
Yes, and I wanted to make a couple of announcements regarding the roll call. This year, because the Pacifica National Board was not able to hold elections due to lack of funding, a resolution has been passed by the Pacifica National Board and confirmed in two other motions that all board members' terms will be extended. So until the next election can be held in 2023. So usually at this meeting, there is a change where newly elected board members are seated. There will be, that will not take place, although we will be seating a new board member at this meeting, Carlos Cohan, to replace another board member who's no longer on the board. So welcome, Carlos, to the KPFA local station board. And I also want to welcome, again, Donna Carter, who, she is, new to the board. There was an executive committee. There was an executive meeting in October where Donna participated, but this is her first, public meeting where she will be. And I also want to apologize to EA. I got your initials. I got your name confused. And, so an EA will be, joining us for this meeting, assisting Kai and helping in the future. And I think Antonio, interim general manager, will be, introducing EA as well. I want to go ahead with roll call.
I think Philip has his hand up. Did you have a point of order or a question, Philip? Or is your hand up by accident?
Accident. Oh, he's muted. Philip is muted, so he can't talk.
Okay. He has his hand raised. I'm just noting that. So
I think that means he's signing.
He wants to talk.
he wants to talk. Okay.
Video, I had accidentally made it so people can't turn on their video. So I changed that now.
Okay. So do you want to call on, just unmute Philip? Philip, unmute.
Philip, do you have a point of order?
Just a correction. The hands up is not under participants. The hands up is under reactions. And so I think it's a part of your text that you make the same mistake at the meeting and say it's under participants. When it's not under participants, it's under reactions.
Well, that's close. We'll correct that for the next meeting. Thank you, Philip. I just read the same thing every time. So we make you the same mistake.
It used to be in the past. Okay, we'll go ahead with roll call. Aki Tanaka. Let's see. Can you unmute everyone during roll call, please? Kai. Okay, Aki Tanaka.
Aki is still muted.
They can't unmute themselves.
Kai, can you unmute them so we can hear from them during roll call?
I did that. I don't know why it seems to be not working. I changed that and then changed it back. My end says that participants can unmute themselves. So I don't.
Aki's now got.
I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. Aki's here. I believe you will all have to unmute yourselves for roll call. And Andrea Turner?
Present.
Andrea's here. Brian Crowell? Christina, was there a note from Brian?
Brian said that he asked to be excused. He may be able to check in later, but he can't be during the whole meeting, but he asked for an excused absence. Sorry.
Okay. Carlos Cohan?
Here.
Carlos present. Carol Wolfley, I'm present. Catherine Tuktakin?
I'm here.
Catherine's here. Chris Corey? Chris Corey? Okay, Chris Corey, we'll come back. Christina Huggins?
Here.
Christina here. Christine Pepin?
Christine Pepin has asked for an excused absence. She had a family, a family event to attend to.
Thank you. Christine Pepin will ask for excused absence. Daniel Borgstrom?
Daniel present.
Daniel present. Darlene Pagano?
Present.
Darlene present. Donald Goldmacher?
Present.
Donald here. Donna Carter?
Present. My video is locked off.
Thank you, Donna. Donna present. Frank Sterling?
I'm here.
Fred Dodsworth?
Here.
Fred, present. James McFadden?
Here.
James present. Leslie Howard?
Present.
Leslie present. Lily Kimura?
Here.
Lily here. Mark Van Landwood?
Present.
Mark present. Philip Maldari?
Here.
Philip here. Richard Walensky. We'll come back. Sherry Gendelman. We'll come back. Chris Corey just sent an email. Zach Calvier.
Yeah, here. I see people in email ask trying to get on. They didn't have the link. I just shared the Zoom link with some people, so that might be why.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Sherry Gentleman is here. I was muted and couldn't unmute.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. And Tom Voorhees?
Tom is here.
Tom is here. So we'll wait a minute and see if Richard can get on. Chris Corey, are you here now? Okay.
I have an announcement that I wanted to make before we go.
I can see Richard.
Oh, you can see Richard?
Yep.
Richard, unmute, please.
I'm still locked out.
He has his headphone off. He can't hear you. Ask him to unmute.
Okay. Donna does not have video access. Is that something that we have control over?
Yeah, she should be able to turn on her video.
Donna, why don't you try again to turn on your video, the little screen at the bottom on the left.
Carol?
I'm doing that and it's not working.
Point of order?
Yes.
Can you ask Richard Valinsky to raise his hand if he can hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Oh, there you are.
There you are, Richard. Hi. Okay.
What happened? Why did we not get on?
I don't know. My computer was really slow. It took a huge long time to get me on. Chris with us, or I saw there was an email from Chris. Does anybody?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Carol.
Okay.
Thank you.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So I would like to make a motion that we excuse Brian Crowell and Christine Pepin from the meeting.
Oh, no. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Is there any objection?
Objection.
Seeing none, they're excused. And before we go into the elections for the officers, just a brief announcement in that we have appointed Sherry Gendelman to be our counsel for our local state board. We've run into a number of legal issues that have happened lately in particular. So
bored to sleep.
Please mute yourself, whoever's talking right now. So she will be our counsel for our local station board, and she is present as our counsel. Go ahead. You want to get the information for the KPFA-LSB elections for us, Carol? Would you do that?
Yes, I am asking Kai and EA to send the KPFA-LSB officer election ballot out at this time, and we will have nominations and voting during the agenda further on down. But we like to make sure that people have the ballot. There is also a phone number for people who have a disability and are unable to have access to the ballot, so you may vote by ballot by email is our preference. And if you're not able to, you may also vote by phoning the designated number on the ballot or that was sent in the agenda last night. So Kai, have the ballots gone out?
Yep.
Okay. And people can look at those ballots. You will be asked to write your name, write a 5-character code. It can be letters, numbers, or characters, other characters into that. And we use that for identification purposes. And then to designate the name and the person that you are voting for. In the case that you would like to vote for one person and possibly a second person. You may do that for the same office per our voting guidelines of ranked choice voting. Sorry, it slipped my mind. Ranked choice voting. So you can do that by ranked choice voting and rank your choices if you so wish to do. Or you can just vote for one person. So we will go ahead and go on with the next part of the meeting. Unless are there any questions about the voting? And please, if you did not receive a ballot, go to the chat and notify Kai, the meeting administrator, and then we can follow up. Thank you.
Thank you. So everybody received the agenda and email. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
You don't need one. Do it by unanimous consent.
By unanimous consent, if there's no objection. Chris, you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question about the officer election. So I haven't been keeping up with the PMB very well. What is the current status of the LSB delegates and elections for... I mean, what's the status of elections with Pacifica? Are they been suspended for now? Is that the understanding?
Yes, they've been suspended for a year. And what they've done is they extended all of the terms for 1 year for all the local station board members. And we will still be holding an election for our directors in January.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any objection to approving?
Okay. Nobody's hand up as an objection to approve the agenda. The agenda is approved. We have time certain, even though we're 5 minutes late, I think we have an interim general manager report from Antonio Ortiz. So are you here, Antonio?
I am here.
Oh, hello, Antonio. Would you please give your report to us?
Yes, I can. I'm going to go share my screen, and what I have written is what I'll share with the board after, once I read it. So just give me a moment. Okay, I hope everyone can see this.
We can see it, Antonio, thank you.
Okay. And then another person that'll join me will be Maria Negrete, business office manager. She'll join us at the end of this report. And one thing I want to say is that, well, I don't have my camera on because I am in LA and I don't know what the internet is like here. So I'm just going to go with what I know is certain to work. So the audio is working for right now. And I want to say that this is the end of 2022. It's been a rough last few months. I came into this position in August and September, was not expecting a lot of the financial problems from Pacifica affecting KPFA this soon. But what I want to do with this is at least start off with some of the things that we've been experimenting with, what we've tried, some changes that have happened in the station that have been positive, and then we'll get into the harder stuff later. So for those who don't know me, my name is Antonio Ortiz. I am the interim general manager at KPFA. I came into this after Quincy McCoy left in August of this year. One thing that I had started working on before I became the interim general manager is getting someone on board to start working on social media, getting KPFA to be not just on the airwaves and not on our website, and to experiment. Right. So over the past year, the station continued to operate several platforms, resulting in increasing content share and social interaction with the public. We also experimented with the use of live streams, video, and online audio content. Twitter has around 13 1,800 followers on KPFA's account, it remains a valuable resource and platform for connecting with the public at large about station content, events, and news. And we maintain an average of about 70,000 impressions per month. I had to look up what impressions meant, and I think what that really means is it's showing up on people's Twitter feeds. For Facebook, we have around 19,000 followers. Oh, just for some people to note, the amount on Twitter used to be higher, but once Elon Musk took it over, the numbers went down because people were leaving the platform. Just FYI. Facebook, we have around 19,000 followers on Facebook. Our post engagement has grown from about 1,000 people per post to 2,354 people per post. And then below is an image from Facebook's analytics about our audience. I'm going to scroll up here. As you can tell, from 18-24 all the way to 65 plus, we seem to run, half and half men and women, or those who identify as that. And then for locations, the biggest locations or biggest impact on locations are in Oakland, San Francisco. We have some in Los Angeles, and we'll have here Berkeley, California. So that is from Facebook Analytics, just to give you an idea of who's listening to, who's looking at us on Facebook. For Instagram, we have around 3,300 followers. Instagram is a mid-range to younger audience. And before the creation of the social media team, the numbers of followers was around 1,200. So that went up to 3,300. TikTok, we only have about 10 followers. Didn't know if I needed to say this or not, but it's something that we are looking into and how to play with that platform and see how we can reach a younger audience there. Live streaming. We are also experimenting with streaming video on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch.tv. Although the viewing numbers are small, our goal was to consistently share content and see how it could build an audience. Below are a list of events we live streamed this year. The Grateful Dead Marathon live music show in February, they had one band come in. We experimented with that to see how that went. Music of the World has done some live shows, and in May, we tried streaming that to see how that went. Most of these experiments had brought to our attention some issues technically that we were trying to figure out how to overcome. Ray Edlund, when Ray Edlund left, there was the Ray Fest, a tribute to him and his work at KPFA. That was broadcast, but that was removed due to a copyright claim. Just FYI. So if you're trying to find it, you won't be able to see it. And then the most recent one was the election night news coverage. It was a simulcast from what we did on area on 94.1 FM. And we also broadcast that live, on social media. Okay. So that's live streaming that we have done. More live streaming and monthly announcements is from On the Deck. This is something that Miko Tolliver put together. Originally it was, or let me go to the notes here. KPFA Radio has a monthly announcement video series, and we have done 12 announcements in 2022, giving listeners program updates, event information, and show promos. The full video is available on YouTube, and individual segments and promos are used on our social media platforms. Just for you all to note that this monthly announcement started in January. It was a way to get our listeners information of what is going on at the station. And then we recently have started doing a weekly recap. I think that started in around June of this year, which also did, additional announcements and program updates and reminders. And this is something that we do weekly on Tuesdays. Other content we share consistently, KPFA news headlines. Their captioned videos appear on Tuesday to Friday weekly. We also share it on Berkeley Public Access TV, Berkeley Community Media. Letters and politics. We live restreaming from Mitch Jeserich's YouTube account. Right now there are over 40 videos of letters and politics, with KPFA radio station branding. Another thing that we share also that I did not put on here is that we share La Onda Bajita's Radio Cafe live music performances that happen up north. Okay. Another thing that Miko Tolliver is extremely excited about is the QR code stickers. So if you can see this here and you're willing, if you want to find out how it works, you could just go use your phone, use the photo, app, don't take a photo of this, but when you, look at this image, it'll take you to KPFA's website. And so we have these QR stickers that we hand out instead of paper pamphlets. This code can be tracked and allows us to see data for how many clicks it generates back to the KPFA website. I recently used this myself to make a donation to the station before the crafts fair, that happened earlier in this month. And actually we got some people to make donations to the station using this QR code. Okay. And goals with social media, or our goal with the social media team, is to explore social media and experiment with each platform to figure out efficient ways to adapt our audio content online. The challenge is getting all show hosts to embrace social media and be willing to video their promos. We work in radio. Not everyone in radio wants to be on camera, so that has been challenging for us. Okay. Going from there, the operations department. This is going to be board op and news tech training. We readapted our internship program. Since the pandemic, we haven't been able to bring in the amount of people that we were thinking of, just because we're very careful with our health and safety protocols at the station. So we have readapted our training program. The ops department readapted its internship training program to be an intensive 2-month training program for individuals who want to be a fill-in board operator and news tech. The first month is 40 hours per week of volunteer shadowing that culminates into a board op certification test. The test is monitored by the general manager, me, as a trainee runs the board solo for a live show. Once the trainee receives certification, the second month is paid training and preparation to be an official fill-in board operator and news tech. We trained 3 people this year with 2 individuals obtaining certification in fill-in board op news tech status. And then going to the programming department. The programming department had a few changes this year. Below is a list of them with relevant details. All of these announcements were made on the deck. Also, we made some promos on the air, so you may be aware of these. I didn't put in the monthly order, but it's in some order. Law and Disorder, that's a new show with Kat Brooks and producer Jesse Strauss. That launched in August of this year. It's Monday through Thursdays at 8 to 9 a.m. We've received a lot of good feedback about that show. There's another show that we have, Our World as We See It, that's produced by the youth of Oakland School for the Arts. It launched in November, and it plays on Wednesdays at 2:30 to 3 p.m. I want to thank Damian Minor, and Mike Biggs for being in those conversations with me, with Oakland School for the Arts' radio program director, Dolores Thompson, to make this happen. It took 3 to 4 months to bring a youth show to KPFA. And I can't tell you as well the countless amount of other youth organizations that we met with that didn't work out because of a lack of resources and people power to make that happen. But we talked to 3 or 4 other youth organizations. And so I'm happy to try this out. This is a pilot program. We're going to see in 6 months how it works out for Oakland School for the Arts. And on top of it, Miko Tolliver has been reaching out to Dolores Thompson to figure out how we can do social media with Oakland School for the Arts to expand our reach on social media, and also let people know that Oakland School for the Arts has a show on KPFA. Okay. Next, we have Education Today and Pushing Limits were 2 shows that shared a time slot. They were on Fridays every other week. We found that having a show every other week was hard to maintain and build an audience. So when other shows were retiring, we utilized that time to move things around. So Education Today is now a weekly show. It started in November to be weekly at 2 to 2:30. So it goes on right before the youth show. And then Pushing Limits, which has always been on Fridays at 2:30, now is every Friday at 2:30. Terra Verde, that used to be at 2 o'clock on Fridays, moved up to fill to the 10:30 a.m. slot to fill in the spot that, that El Show with Andres Soto had. And then that opened up Making Contact to be a weekly show on KPFA, on Fridays at 2 o'clock. And that also happened in November. So in November, a lot of changes happened. And 7, 8, 9, and 10 are things that have happened earlier in the year. So, Jazzline Sessions, which used to play, in the middle of the night on, I want to say Saturday mornings, Saturday night to Sunday morning, moved to Saturdays at 2 to 4 p.m. One notable thing about that program is that African Jamal Davis, host producer of that show, lives in the South Bay. I want to say in the San Jose area. And, he broadcasts live offsite, from San Jose. The Soul Suite, I think I spelled that incorrectly. Apologies. I'll have to fix that for you all. Was launched in March. Oh, sorry. Jazz Life Sessions, that change happened in February. And then other changes that happened because of the move. The Soul Suite took over the space of Jazzline Sessions, so it plays on Saturdays at 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Sundays. And that happened in March, a little bit after Jazzline Sessions moved over to Saturday afternoons. Chocolate Beats, produced by Idris Hassan, that went away during pandemic because she wasn't able to produce content offsite. We finally were able to get her to be able to do that, get her some audio editing software. So she returned to KPFA. And instead of taking on the every other week time slot with after hours, we were able to move her to Wednesdays, 12 to 1 a.m. once a week so that she could also help build an audience. And then for after hours, which is not here, I'm in conversation with them to make them an official once a week music show on Sunday mornings. And that's supposed to be happening in January of this coming year, 2023. And then I had that tape with a number 9. That was a mistake on my part, but I had that tape around the same time in March, had moved to Sundays at 9 o'clock in the evening, 9 to 10. And those are programming changes that happened this year. Special broadcasts that we did, per usual, every year we've done the Black History Month broadcast that happened on February 21st. We did the Grateful Dead Marathon, which we've always done every year. That happened on February 26th. International Women's Day, that was on March 13th. Those three we do annually. Then what came up next was an Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month special on May 30th. That was a 1-hour special put together from folks from Apex Express and also other Asian identifying producers, Asian American and Pacific Islander identifying producers. And that was a first time. And I think, well, first time since I've been here. And so I was excited for that to happen on May 30th. Indigenous Peoples Day, we do an Alcatraz broadcast normally, or annually we do an Alcatraz broadcast on Indigenous Peoples Day. But here it's noted because on October 10th, we also did an hour special after the Alcatraz broadcast that went on at 8 to 9 in the morning. I want to say that. I think that's correct. We had producers create content for Indigenous Peoples Day that's not related to the Alcatraz broadcast, but to educate our listeners about topics and issues important to the Indigenous people community. Then from there, we also did a reproductive justice special. This happened on November 7th. This one was actually inspired by a program that that Laura Privis did about abortion stories. And so we got some International Women's Day producers together to produce a special, a 1-hour special to air one day before the election, the midterm election, with the hope of using that time to educate our listeners about how the overturning of Roe v. Wade affects women, and to see if that would inspire people to take action and vote, right? So that happened on November 7th. We also had election night coverage that happened on November 8th. And then the Crafts Fair broadcast, which we do annually. This time it happened December 3rd and 4th. I was excited that the producers of the Crafts Fair had decided to do this again this year. I know that this past year has been very difficult. A lot of exhibitors decided to retire at this time, and there was a chance that the Crafts Fair was not going to happen this year. And we also did a live broadcast on Saturday and Sunday from the fair, 9 to 11 a.m. And then we also did a live stream on the deck on that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to promote the Crafts Fair on social media. And then the last thing that I have here that I remember is the January 6th Select Committee hearings. It started on June 9th, and we've been broadcasting those hearings since then when they happen. Okay. Going on from there. The engineering department, very simple. The engineering department for this year, I'm sure there are more, they had installed air conditioning at the transmitter site, which was needed. There were some days that were really hot, and it took us off the air for a moment. So that's really important. And then also we are in the middle of a tower inspection at the transmitter site, and the tower is going to be slated to get painted, which needs to happen. Every, I want to say 7 to 10 years. Okay. And then going from there, the development department. So 2022 has been a year of dynamic and positive change within the development department. In January, longtime public events producer Bob Baldock retired, and his role was assumed by development director Kevin Hunsinger. The first dozen events were online only. And after 2 years of pandemic protocols, diminishing numbers of attendees signaled that Zoom fatigue was at an all-time high. However, once KPFA's Face author event series began hosting live and in-person events, attendance was consistently strong, and a return to profitability was achieved. Relationships were reestablished with classic venues like the Freight and Salvage, the Hillside Club, and the First Congregational Church. While new venues such as the Back Room, the Shotgun Playhouse, the Cartoon Art Museum, and the San Francisco Elks Lodge were introduced to the mix. The majority of in-person events were at capacity crowds or numbered in the hundreds, and some particularly successful evenings included Barbara Dane, 4,200 net ticket sales on a $1,300 cost, Chris Hedges, $2,500 net on a $750 cost, two sold-out shows with Liam O'Donohue, $4,200 net on a $3,000 cost, and Medea Benjamin, $2,200 net on a $850 cost. Many events also had residual benefits extending into fund drives when recordings, signed books, and DVDs were used as premiums for donors. The most successful example of this were Chris Hedges, 35 copies of his book, The Greatest Evil is War, were accepted at a $120 donation level, which was equal to $4,200 in donations. And Greg Pallas, $1,500 profit on event tickets and about 100 copies of Vigilante at a $100 donation level, which is equivalent to a $2.25 cost for the station. The 2022 event series was also very successful in its widely diverse range of performers and speakers. The 2023 event series will continue to grow with 35 live and in-person events expected to be held. Also note, within the development department was the hiring of a new membership coordinator, Alejandra Triana. Alejandra immediately impacted the development department by vastly improving communications with donors, controlling inventory numbers of premiums, identifying premium cost increases, and adjusting donation levels to compensate with these rising costs, and maintaining a consistent and reliant presence within the department. Alejandra's extraordinary attention to detail improved the accuracy of financial deposits and reporting to the business department. Alejandra also possesses programming skills and was able to work closely with the engineering department to improve credit card processing methods within Stripe, our credit card processor, which decreased the number of chargebacks to almost zero, and to implement improvements in transaction security. Alejandra has also shown strong interest in KPFA's mission and has contributed ideas for growth in premium selections and donor outreach. The development department has also worked very closely with our call center, A Better Answer, identifying and improving aspects such as donation accuracy, call times, drop calls, and messaging. The improvements were also made in the success of email newsletter outreach, increasing both the open rate of messages from 20% to 35%, well above industry standards, as well as growing the targeted audience from 25,000 subscribers to 35,000 subscribers while consolidating mailing lists to a single service, MailChimp, and saving KPFA $1,250 annually. Okay, so going to the holiday fund drive. We just finished the two-week holiday fund drive, and it formally ended at 7 p.m. Friday night, bringing in a total of $471,229, far surpassing the original goal of $300,000. However, due to the way that we account for monthly pledges, that total does not translate directly to the total funds in KPFA's bank account. Monthly pledges are spread out over the year, but we account for them in our goal as a full year pledged. For example, a $10 a month pledge is reflected in the fund drive total as a $120 pledge. We will continue to make short pitches for donations during programs and in on-air promos and social media up until the last day of the year, December 31st. We have found this strategy to be successful in the past. At the end of 2021, KPFA brought in over $70,000 in the last 3 days of the year. Many people itemize their taxes and might not have a clear picture of how much they have available to donate until the end of the year. That is why it is such a good time for nonprofits to make the ask at this time. We did set a goal of $50,000 for the post-drive, but we are likely to surpass that goal as well. While we are emboldened by the generous outpouring of community support, we also need to be cautious in our predictions of whether or not we will be able to sustain this level of support throughout the next year. Our winter 2023 fund drive is planned for Tuesday, February 21st through Friday, March 10th, 2023. And also like to add that I also sent out a mailer, end of year mailer and holiday or New Year's Day card to our subscribers. And that also brings in some money. We won't know the amount until the end of the year. And then I will leave it to Maria to read the business office portion of this presentation. Maria, are you there?
I am. I think everybody can hear me, but let's see. I won't be able to use your, excuse me, your screen, Antonio, because I need to be able to scroll. Can you close yours?
I can help you out and I can just scroll up. Oh, wait, no, I get it. Yeah, you should have control over it.
So just stop sharing and I'll share mine.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yeah, do you have a question?
I move that we extend the time of this item on the agenda for another 10 minutes, because we're over time.
Right. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
Okay, the time is extended.
The time is extended.
So, now that Antonio gave you guys all the fun stuff, you can all see my screen. I hope. Can everybody see the screen?
Yes, I can see it.
Okay, thank you. So now that Antonio told you all the fun stuff, I always get
I cannot see the screen. I'm seeing Antonio's screen. I'm not seeing Maria's screen.
It's the same.
It's just because she has control now. That's all the difference.
It says business office, right, Philip?
Yeah, yes. I see it.
Okay. So anyway, like I said, now that Antonio gave you guys all the fun stuff, as you guys know, we had $305,000 taken from us. It was our complete reserves, leaving us with $68,000 in the bank. it's not in here. I'm just reiterating because everybody has heard that over and over again. So what I wanted to report on is the reality of how much money is still owed to KPFA by other units at Pacifica and Pacifica itself. So I tried to do a narrative as clearly as possible. Hopefully this is clear for everybody, but let's see. I'll just start from the top. I'll just read it. Since much has been talked about with regard to KPFA's recent money situation, there is not much to report. However, we thought we'd share some interesting facts. In 14 months alone, in addition to us paying our own central services, our own funding our own payroll and medical benefits, Pacifica cost us an additional $450,395. The detail is below here, but in summary, $93,000 in the last 14 months was to pay Pacifica's legal bills. $52,000 was overpaid central services because we lent KPFK money. They repaid it to Pacifica. So we didn't see any cash. It's on the books. It's not cash. It's just flows through the books. Then of course the $305,000 seized by the U.S. Marshals Service paid
point of
for
information. Yes. Can you please explain that $305,000 fund seized by the Marshals Service? Where did that come from and why?
Okay. So, number one, I want to state on the record, I received absolutely no notion, no letter, no email, no phone call from anybody. I went in, looked at the bank accounts, and they were that the grant money and the reserves were at zero. Looked at it, it said U.S. Marshals Service levy and a phone number. When I called the phone number, it happened to be Attorney Jaffe. And come to find out the $305,000 was to pay the debt for the lost judgment that Pacifica had. We are Pacifica. We are the same federal ID number. The bank shows us as Pacifica. Our checks say KPFA, but the bank account is under Pacifica. So when the U.S. Marshals went in to look at Pacifica as a whole, there was no money anywhere else but in our bank accounts. So they wiped out two of our bank accounts, our grant and our reserve money that we had slated for paying property taxes. And once they wiped that out, they went and they took $4,000 more from our operating account, leaving us with $68,000.
But why was that money taken? What was that in response to?
To a lost lawsuit.
It was for an arbitration.
Oh, are you talking about the WBAI judgment that came because they were saying terrible things about the general manager?
It was a defamation claim where they, the former executive director, interim executive director, the arbitrator found they were defamed. That was defamation, and he had received death threats at his home as a result of things that happened in New York City. And so that $300,000 judgment was issued by the arbitrator.
Against WBAI, which is Pacifica.
Right. So each individual unit is really owned by the umbrella organization. So when the U.S. Marshals had the opportunity, when they had the order from the district judge in Los Angeles for the federal judge, when he enforced the order, they levied everything for Pacifica because the only money what was in any account was in KPFA. They took the money from KPFA because that was all the other stations do not have anything approaching.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, go ahead, Maria.
Sure. Okay, so let's see. This is something that has been on the books for years, but I want to emphasize this because KPFA is the only one that had been paying central services, funding its own payroll, funding its own medical benefits. The other stations have not been able to do all three of those, or sporadically doing it. So, so they keep adding to their debt to Pacifica. On the reverse, we have, the others are debtors to us. So subtracting out the normal intercompany transaction, Pacifica owes in the last 14 months $348,000 to KPFA. Now adding the balance forwarded from audited years, it's a total of $734,884. And that is in the short-term category. Adding in $1,343,733, which Pacifica moved to long-term receivables back in fiscal year 2006, Pacifica owes KPFA a whopping $2,078,618. The difference between short-term and long-term. Short-term is money you expect to pay back in a short period of time, such as a car loan. Long-term is money you owe and expect to pay off in a long period of time, such as a house loan. Pacifica never paid us a dime towards that $1,343,733, which was short-term. In 2006, they put it into long-term, reclassified the balance owing to long-term, never to be spoken about again. And by the way, this is not a secret. This is on the financials, on audited financials for years. Now, because the other stations owe a tremendous amount of intercompany money, there's talk of a write-off, writing off these amounts as bad debt. Great for the other stations, very bad for KPFA. This would cause KPFA to take a loss of $2,078,618. The disadvantage to KPFA is essentially that we laid out $2 million in cash over, it's over 20 years, but nonetheless, and had to adjust our spending and operations, and we've never seen any form of repayment. The details are below. So this is the detail that I'm showing you here. This is for just the last 14 months. If I were to show you everything, which, you know, it would be a much longer table. The detail that I'm showing you are the amounts that we paid for Pacifica, the expenses, the seizure of the money, and the KPFK Central Services that they paid Pacifica, but it went on the books. So there are items such as payroll, Central Services, and that's it, payroll and Central Services. So those are kind of, they go in, they go out. They charge us $34,666 per month. We paid $34,666, which is why you see up here, it says at the very top, it says fiscal year 22-0, P&O Central Services total. KPFA has been paid up to date, so that's zero. Here is Central Services for these last couple of months. We owe $34,666. Okay. Well, I'll just keep going. All of the above is what Pacifica owes KPFA. In addition, the other stations also owe KPFA, with the figures below from fiscal year 21 audited totals. Audited totals means that the stations reconciled with each other to match totals. The auditors reviewed the reconciliations, agreed with the reconciliations, and signed off on the figures. So as of fiscal year 21, the other stations owed KPFA $186,925. The same long-term that was just shifted over to long-term is 56,876 from the other station. So the total as of fiscal year 21, and I give you fiscal year 21 because it's audited. So I just wanted to be very clear about that. The audited total is 243,801. Then when you add in what KPF, excuse me, what National Office, which is what I explained above, that the amounts are right here, but I had already explained that above. So, so as I explained above, there's talk about writing off all the intercompany balances as per fiscal year audit 21. The other units owe Pacifica $13,751,000. PRA owes, well, you can see it here. PRA owes $661,000, KPFK $1.5, WBAI $8.5 million, PFW $2.1, and KPFT basically $854,000, totaling $13,751. Now, we're owed by the other units and Pacifica itself, $1,974,000. And that, all of these numbers down here that I show as audited show on the audit financials. So this is not something I made up. This is not something I pulled out of our, somewhere from me. It's the audited financials. So.
Request for information?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm assuming that you misspoke, that it was $13,000. I believe that's $13 million.
Yes, sorry. If I did say that, that's a big mistake.
Thank you, Jeff.
The other stations owe Pacifica $13,751,000. And we're owed $1,974,000 by everybody else. And again, that's fiscal year 21. So I guess if you want to ask questions on this information,
okay. That's fine. Thank you, Maria. So do we have any questions? Could you take the screen down now, Maria?
Oh, sure, of course.
Thank you.
Okay.
Request for information, Chair. We will be getting those materials sent to us.
Maria, you're going to say
yes. It's on the bottom of the report.
Well, everybody will get those. Mm-hmm. So Chris, you have a question?
Yes. Maria, I'm assuming the $450,000 most recently absconded with is going to be treated as an interdivisional transfer. Do you have any idea whether that is the presumed treatment for that money or whether it's just going to be charged off somehow?
Well, that's what the, so we have, intercompany accounts. It's a mirror image. What I said is owed by by Pacifica to KPFA, the $380,000. Let me make sure I get the number right.
I can answer part of that is that we've been told by the executive director that as soon as they get some cash, that they will pay KPFA back. That's what
I'm aware of that. I'm just wondering how it was treated from a financial standpoint. Has it been treated as a balance sheet item? In other words,
yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. James McFadden.
Yeah, are we allowed to ask the IGM questions? Yes. So long.
Okay. I'm here.
First, I just want to thank you for seeing KPFA using social media, and this has been a discussion point the entire year in strategic planning. So I hope that your social media person and you can share that experience with that PNB committee some point in the future, since you seem to be ahead of the other stations. And I'm interested in particular on the overall cost. I noticed that in our budgets, our web services are about 20 times more than other stations. And I'm curious, is this higher cost due to external services to be able to implement this social media, or does it include our social media person as part of that cost? And this is important because it impacts on what stations can do in the future and, how much they have available to be able to approach this.
Yeah.
Antonio, if you don't mind, I'll take that question. Uh-huh. Yes, you are right. The cost goes into the website. Which we have a beautiful website.
No, the personal cost. So the social media person is under website services.
There is somebody who is in there, yes.
Okay. So is that person a contractor or employee?
Yes. Yes. That's their business.
It's not a yes, no question. Is the person a contractor or an employee?
Yes.